Hello and welcome to 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are John Carson and Max Hamilton. There's been quite a bit of news out of Gamescom this week, and so we're going to get things started by jumping right in. Let's start off with the Battlefront Fighter Squadron gameplay demo that we got to see. It was pretty exciting. We finally got to see some first-person, you know, spaceship combat. I was fairly impressed, although I definitely had flashbacks of Rogue Squadron. What did you guys think?
I didn't have any Rogue Squadron flashbacks, but it did excite me that there is going to be the ability to play, obviously, just flying only, because there was obviously some concern with no space battles and a lack of being able to hop in a vehicle and take off from the ground, even in the regular skirmish modes, because you have to get power-ups or something, I believe, at
sure.
this point in time. There was an interesting piece that went up today, I believe it was Mike Futter on Game Informer, and he was saying that they had some hands-on time with the mode, though, and all the vehicles are very similar to each other. They don't really handle differently. They don't have different armor stats and things like that. So
really? Is that, like, across both factions?
Yes, yes. So it sounds like the TIE fighter handles exactly like the X-Wing. There's not, right? So hopefully, you know, his point was that they have this time to get this feedback and iron this out, because there's a concern that, you know, it's not a Battlefield 4 clone, but it's also going to be too accessible, too, like, catered to just the casual gamer that
sure,
can hop in,
sure.
you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and speaking to that, I don't know if you guys caught this, but it looks like in the quote-unquote, like, 64-player looking matches,
yes.
it's 20 live players, and then the rest are bots. That's what I got from this. Did you guys see that as well?
Yes, that's confirmed. So the Fighter Squadron, it's 10-on-10.
Which, okay. to me, is incredibly disappointing. I don't understand why they felt the need to do that. Like, I don't really... I get that they want to have the same kind of NPC and player separation that they mm-hmm. have in the ground combat, but this would have been a wonderful opportunity for huge scale pitched space yeah. battles. I don't know that I can't think of a game that supports real time 32-on-32 space combat. That would have been huge.
Right.
It would have been. And maybe, you know, they'll come with it in the future. There's talk of them bringing the battles to space, and obviously they're going to do their season pass and DLC. But it's just. It's a missed opportunity, I feel, to, you know, have it too casual and not kind of a throwback to the Rogue games where there were all these different ships, everything handled differently and,
sure.
you know, the variety.
And I'll be honest, too, you were talking about how people were saying they didn't want to have to, like, earn power-ups to get into each vehicle.
Yes.
I'm from the other side of it. I will be really annoyed if on the map rotation there are maps that are just vehicle combat. Like, I'll have to yeah. opt out of those every time because I personally don't like flight simulator type games. And so, like, unless it's really, really, really good and well optimized, which traditionally they've had decent controls in Battlefield games, like for vehicles, but it's never felt just right to me. I don't think I'm going to want to play those matches. And I really like the idea. Like, I loved in the second one how you could go in between ships and dogfight in space, but then you could get out on the ship and go
yep.
do objectives on the opponent's ship. Like, I thought that was so cool.
Yep.
And so I'm going to be really bummed to miss out on that if it's not going to be in this one. I know the space battles obviously won't, but I mean having any ground component. Because it looks like we saw that there was some there were some vehicles in the Hoth battle, but
yep.
reports are sounding like they had very different controls from
well,
what we've
those
seen
those are
today.
Also closer to the ground if you're using something like snow speeders or like the AT-ATs. Those aren't going to be going as high in the sky as something,
sure, but,
something like an X-Wing
sure,
or a
Sure, but
or a
you could
fighter.
Have objectives like for
oh,
the people
sure.
in the sky that are, you know, completely inaccessible
sure.
to people on the ground but still affect the combat. Maybe they shoot a Star Destroyer out of space and it crashes into
yeah.
one of the bases. Like, that'd be cool.
Like, one of the things to consider there is the size of the maps. Something with the aerial battles, at least for what they were showing, seemed pretty big. But there wasn't really anything going on the ground, obviously.
Sure, which is probably how they get them
yep,
that
and,
large.
And ground battles, you want to have them populated enough where you're going to have conflicts all the time.
I mean, I guess, but that does still kind of feel like a bit
right.
of an excuse, because Battlefield 4 had big maps
right.
with vehicles and
right.
ground combat that did go vertical.
Yep.
They had skyscrapers.
And I'm with you. I want to be able to jump into a TIE fighter if I'm doing just a regular, like, Battlefront
yeah.
Match. But
right. Well,
they haven't really been showing that stuff, so
well,
hopefully this will come to a head
sure.
pretty soon.
Well, and I am a little concerned about the lack of variety between the two factions' vehicles, because it should be, you should have to purchase the vehicles, in my opinion, and it should be a dime a dozen for TIE fighters, yep. and they should go down in one hit but be super fast,
yep.
and then you could have an X-Wing that can take, on average, I don't know, 8 to 10 of them out, but it's way more expensive and harder yep. to earn it because of limited resources for the Rebellion or
right.
whatever. Like, it would have been, I don't know, I feel like they're missing out on stuff. I really hope that they don't just go too far in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see. We really don't know too much about it yet still. EA is pretty good at guarding those secrets.
Yes, so. They are, but it is coming up quick, so hopefully there's some more information released soon.
Yes, definitely. Moving along, we also got to see some more gameplay from Mirror's Edge Catalyst, which is quite interesting. I'm actually mm-hmm. tentatively excited for this one now. It's going to be the open world, first-person free-running, the open world being the big change, and, you know, it looks interesting. I'm intrigued. What do you guys think?
Well, it looks a lot like the original Mirror's Edge,
sure.
stylistically.
Yes, it does.
That was already a really pretty game, so they couldn't really do a whole lot to bring up, like, the graphical level of things.
Sure.
But they still, like, they started off their trailer with it being outside on the rooftops, and that kind of looked kind of bland.
Yeah, I had that same feeling. Kind of like, I feel like I'm going to get, if objectives are too far apart, I think I'm going to get bored.
But once they started going into whatever building that they're going into.
Sure.
What's her name again? Faith?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, so once Faith started kind of running around in the building and kind of puzzling her way up, is pretty interesting looking.
You know, one thing I want to point out before we get into the further into the demo,
yep.
when she was running across the rooftops, there was kind of a little encounter that she avoided where some guards were harassing an employee.
Yep.
It kind of gave me the vibe that, you know, there's going to be some random events going on that you can encounter, and I'm sure there's going to be side quests and some exploration aspects.
And
sure,
I think that was
I mean, that was pretty clearly a scripted.
Oh, that particular part was.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
But I wonder if you could intervene. Because she commented on it like
question.
A little bit after she ran past it, or like her colleague did over
yeah.
the comm.
And then you hear a gunshot delayed.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
so...
like, well, like I need to go do this mission, but I can help out this person. I wonder if there's going to be that kind of conflict in the game
sure.
itself. Proper.
Sure, and if maybe helping them tips off the more guards or
yep.
something
yep.
for the next sequence.
Sure.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I could totally, I would dig that.
Yeah.
Although I will say it. The maze-like traversal is a little strange to me. I was talking to John about this off mic earlier, and there's a scene in the trailer where Faith dives from a building top into a like heating duct, and then promptly comes into a tiny little room that has one door that leads back out to the exterior. And to me, there's nothing natural feeling or obvious about that being a route through the building. You dive into an open vent and it lets you out into another exit, like you were in the building for all of 10 seconds. It's very
unintuitive.
But it
could be one of
seeming.
Three ways of getting through it. Like if you know to look for vents, if it teaches you to look for vents to escape.
To escape,
yeah.
sure, but that was just she wasn't being chased.
Okay, that was just her.
Yeah,
her
that was right after the scene we were just talking
okay,
about.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that we'll get used to it. Maybe they'll have similar markers that weren't turned on during the demo to the first two games where
mm-hmm.
things glow red or whatever.
Everything seemed very green in this game.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think about the really clean presentation on Mirror's Edge? I find it a little bit aesthetically boring.
Yeah, it is boring to an extent. I think what they're going for is like, oh, you know, this utilitarian future where everything's like supposed to be perfect, but obviously it's not. but I thought, you know, apart from kind of the bland office, graphically, like you said, everything looked really pretty. It looked, you know, polished. What I'm excited about, though, is the combat, the lack of guns, and some of the maneuvers she was able to pull off when she was running through the office while being shot at. It looks like they definitely left some options open.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if how much of that is canned and how much of it is really like,
right.
you know, if you are climbing this type of obstacle, does it use the same animation every time, or is it context sensitive? You know,
yeah.
if I jump before I hit it, does it do a different animation?
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty exciting. We
yeah.
can't say too much till we see more. So,
it's looking good. Was that February when that's coming out?
I want to say, yeah.
It's early next year.
Yeah.
So.
And so, yeah, that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Here's some big news that I'm sure you two are excited about.
Mm-hmm.
New Destiny expansion details.
So I will say that I have been anti-Destiny since I bought the game and got through the first I completed it, but then I gave up after a while. I haven't played the expansions. This excites me. This will get me back in. Like, I'm looking forward to them getting rid of the light levels and having a regular leveling system.
Mm-hmm.
all the content and you know, losing the current set of guns, or you're no longer going to be able to level your exotics and armor and things like that. You're going to be having to get the new batch of content and you know, continually progressing along with the players, but also for new players coming to it. Well, I guess everyone gets one of these. You'll be able to auto level, so you're on par with everyone else. So.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's. One, I mean, it probably wouldn't take that long to just get up to a certain level.
No, absolutely not.
It seems
but
a little early.
But if you have three characters and stuff,
I guess. I mean, it seems really, really early. Like, well, World of Warcraft didn't introduce any kind of auto leveling mechanic until the third expansion, and then they didn't have the official like pay to auto level system they have now until the fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I feel like. Good God, I mean, what, are you going to be auto-leveling a character or two with every expansion? I mean, how so, do you really feel like the game is so old already no. that players, you know, don't want to have to play through the first thing?
If they're joining the leveling system with the regular XP that you
right.
would get from
like the first 20 levels.
From killing monsters and stuff. Like, my guy's level 25 with light levels. And there's a lot of content I haven't seen, like some of the raids and some of the strikes.
Same.
I feel like I could jump into those and just get through those and see that content and level up my character to whatever, like 35 or whatever you need to be for Taken King. It probably won't take that long. It'll take a few hours. And if it's like some of the best content in the game, I'll be fine doing that. Like I probably won't need to auto level unless it's a separate class that I haven't played yet and I just want to get it up there. But that's about it.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I'm not a huge fan of even that. I mean, one of my biggest disappointments with, like, for example, the Wrath of the Lich King expansion in World of Warcraft was I really don't like the idea of a pre-leveled class. If you have a new class, you've got all of those introductory levels to teach you all of their new skills and stuff. What you end up with this ability to skip forward is a bunch of raiding casuals, which is not good. I mean, it makes it very frustrating for entry-level raiders to try and progress because you get stuck with people who stand in the fire, if you'll forgive the common reference. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm actually interested for the first time in Destiny, finally, because it sounds like a lot of the stuff that I didn't like
is
being
cleared
out.
That game is really fun.
Well, the light system was a huge turnoff for me.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, now that they are pulling, it sounds like they're kind of retconning the story slightly to make it better. Not changing the actual story itself, but like they've pulled Dinklage completely, and they're revoicing literally everything with Nolan North, of course.
Oh, are they doing the front end of the game with North?
Yeah, they're going to redoing everything. And I think that it stems from the issue with, like, as I understand it, Dinklage did, like, his AI was not even in the DLC because of his lack of availability.
Right, yeah, right.
So hopefully this will make the game feel a little more fluid and connected. Because, you know, my biggest beef with Destiny is the lack of content. So hopefully once we get this expansion, maybe one more DLC or something, it'll be enough of a full game experience that I'll be more interested.
I'd like to see some discounts on the older DLC too. One thing I just want to throw out there as far as story and lore things go, you're now going to be able to interact with certain objects and find little story bits and pieces throughout the world.
Okay.
Like you can pick up objects and kind of examine them and learn about them. I'm assuming they'll probably have ghosts talk to you. But it's kind of a way for them to get those.
This is a shotgun show.
Cards.
It was shot from your shotgun.
Yeah, I gotta say, I almost
it's a step
feel
in
like
the right
this
direction.
Isn't worth mentioning. I mean, that's like a basic feature of every
other game.
Played.
Yes, but for a game void of story, hopefully that, they start to really focus
they
on.
They buried
that.
Everything in their grimoire online.
Yeah, yeah.
So having something
having
actually
some
in the game for me
nice.
To go like. Mass Effect put their entire codex in their games, and there's so much content.
I feel like that's just as bad.
But you can go in there if you want to learn about a
yeah,
certain subject.
Yeah, you shouldn't
you can,
have to,
but...
though. Like, a well-made story in a well-made world should give you the story without you having to read a Wikipedia page.
Sure, but also Mass Effect gives you story constantly, but it's like if you want to learn a little bit more about
it's
it,
it's a little
you have
different
that.
In a BioWare RPG.
Yeah,
they really
like,
are giving you
in,
additional
in
stuff.
In Destiny, like there's a couple conversations that happen through a mission that really don't tell you anything, and then there's like on the bookends of your missions, like someone will just randomly say something, and there's no real context for what you're doing.
Sure.
There's absolutely. There's,
I hear
there's
a new exotic
no
called There's No Time to Explain.
Good. Good.
I don't like it when. I know that they're quote unquote poking fun at themselves, but whenever I see something like that, like with the new WoW expansion, they had a joke posting that was no ground mounts. And it's like, that's very funny in a very disrespectful to your fan base kind of way. Like, you still haven't learned your lessons. Yeah. Like, making that joke, like, as though, yeah, we're part of this joke. It's like, no, you caused the problem that made that a joke. You know, it's great that you're referencing the No Time to Explain right. line, but that was one of the huge flaws in Destiny,
yeah.
is that they don't explain anything. So, I don't know. It sounds like they're listening to their fan base, which is right. what's got me most interested.
Okay.
But yeah, we also got to see Halo Wars 2 was announced.
That was a shocker.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Yeah, that was very, very surprising. Have you guys played the first Halo Wars? I played a little bit of it. I enjoyed it.
No.
I mean, it was terrible. It was awful, yeah. let's be honest.
It's hard making console RTSs,
was it?
Yes, it was like one of the worst RTSs I've ever played.
For a console,
You're
it worked,
console
though.
You do realize that StarCraft was on N64, right? Like, I mean, that doesn't
mean
it
was not well received, though.
It plays fine for me. That's how I was introduced to RTSs.
I recall that on the 64 having some bad reception, but I guess that...
Well, for obvious reasons, like playing split screen in an RTS kind of defeats the point of everything. So did I. We just it was on the trust system.
It's what you did back then.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, I would. Yeah, there are some decent examples, though. Like, Supreme Commander wasn't... That was ported, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the
Supreme Commander 2. Yeah, and that had an interesting radial control system that was really well implemented for console controls.
Was that after Halo Wars?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so, because Halo Wars was pretty long time ago.
It was, I want to say, like 2006, 2007?
Well, I don't want to shoot Max down completely. Tell us what you like about it.
Oh, I just recall, I don't remember the story at all, but I just remember it functioning quite well control-wise and
I know
being
I had
kind
friends
of fun
who
to
had fun with it,
play.
So.
Well, I think for a lot of console gamers, like, sure, for baby's first RTS, yeah, it's playable, but I mean, give somebody Command and Conquer from the 90s and it's a better game.
Oh, it does not hold a flame to the
any other
PC
RTS. Well, any other RTS, really. I can't think of... I mean, that does bother me. I don't understand why they're making this sequel. Maybe you guys can shed some light on it.
Because Halo's a big thing for them and they saw a reason to do it.
Sure, I just don't see it being super profitable.
I don't think anyone was asking for it.
I mean, no, and that's why it's such a big surprise. Like, did they do it at the very end of their press conference? I missed the end of it and later heard that they announced it. So, I mean, they're having Creative Assembly do it, which is the Total War folks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've done RTSs. You were saying earlier off mic that they don't necessarily make the most
accessible
RTSs, but that doesn't mean that they can't.
No, but I will say that even the best Total War game on PC has incredibly clunky controls and interface, which is the biggest concern.
What if they just do tablet controls?
I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that.
Use the Xbox One Glass app and then actually like control your troops with a tablet instead of just using
Have you ever played an RTS on a tablet or your phone? It's undoable. It's just the worst.
But if you have it on your TV and you're just guiding troops like a mini map?
It seems like a neat idea. I could see some integration there, but honestly, I don't think touch controls have enough control. The mouse and keyboard is really the superior way to play
voice controls,
with heavy
hotkeys.
voice controls could be cool if you did it right, if you had like global abilities that triggered on it, but I don't think you could get enough precision with
Master
it to
Chief
be super
win.
Effective. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this will be interesting. I personally am not super excited about it, but it is certainly a curiosity. I'll be watching it. I would love to be pleasantly surprised. But yeah, so that was quite interesting. But then we got something that was a little more expected and a little more exciting, which is Dark Souls 3 has a new trailer.
Yes, it does.
And it looks like a Dark Souls game, which is the greatest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it looks more like Dark Souls the original than the second one, which is a good thing in my opinion. Yep. What did you guys think?
I believe that it was kind of giving us some Bloodborne vibes as far as a little more updated combat, more fluid.
Yeah, I heard that they have a new weapon system that's it kind of evokes memories of Bloodborne's transformation system.
Yeah, it's something called Battle Arts, and it's I believe it's either every weapon type, or I'm sure it's every weapon type and not every weapon has it, but you have like a separate stance that you can take and have a special attack from that stance. Like if you have... I think it's if you have dual blades, you'll do like a whirlwind spinning attack. I didn't really see what some of the other ones were, but
sure.
Something along those lines that it's a little bit different from the usual, like poke or slash.
Right. Maybe you can like switch a long sword to one hand and do like a long range strike.
Right.
With it or something.
Right. Something like that.
Yeah.
So bringing that into the fold is kind of nice to give you a little bit more of an option for your attacks.
Yeah, definitely. So. And I'm going to be honest. I kind of hope this is the last Dark Souls game for a little while. I'd love
sure.
it if this was just like a really nice cap on the end. And, you know, I'm getting a little fatigued with all of the Souls-esque games.
Get some Demon Souls, too.
I think they kind of got excited with how, you know, the first one became so popular, took off. Two came out of nowhere for a lot of people, and then it just wasn't expected,
yeah.
I guess.
I guess, but
out.
Then Bloodborne then came out the next
right,
year.
Right,
and
now
this year
three. So they're really
is it this year
out.
Or next year we're seeing three?
Next
year. Next year, presumably. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, it just is starting to feel a little bit like an annual franchise.
Yep.
Which...
Yeah, well, I had a friend at work ask me, like, I was talking to him about Dark Souls 3, and he's like, didn't Dark Souls 2 just come out? I'm like, that was almost 2 years ago at this point, or at least by the time 3 comes out, it'll be 2 years. But having Bloodborne in the middle there, it's another Souls game.
Exactly.
Like, there's no doubt about it.
It's literally
and
a
it's,
Souls game.
It kind of has grown into this annual franchise. Yeah, if you just bring out DLC a year later or whatever you're going to do with it, but just cool
down
about, after
how about
that.
A standalone expansion using
yeah.
the same
oh,
engine?
Yeah,
exactly. Because, sorry, I know that's technically
that's
DLC.
That's basically
but,
what I was going
but, for. But, well, I think that it's important to draw this distinction because I think we're finally seeing a lot more full-blown expansions after years of almost exclusively
right.
DLC for every single game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really excited after having played, you know, I really like the Wolfenstein, and aren't we getting a... Oh, I'm trying to remember. There's another big standalone expansion coming out for, oh, gosh. I can't remember now. I'll come back to it. But
Witcher has one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. The standalone expansion for The Witcher is about to come out, and that's a full-blown expansion, too. I
aren't they planning, like, two or three of them?
There's two of them, yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, DLC to me has become kind of a dirty word, but expansion will always still give me that nostalgic rush I got when I
right.
found out that Warcraft 2 had more content, you know? But yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Moving on from Dark Souls 3, we got something that I am ecstatic about. We got to see Crackdown 3. And I don't know about you guys, but I think it looks really, really fantastic. Okay. I'm really excited for this one.
It looks like it's more Crackdown, which is to some could be a good thing, to some could be a bad thing. But the stuff that they were showing for their multiplayer with all the destruction in the city was mind-blowing.
Yeah. What is it? Every single building in the city is fully destructible
yep.
in
yeah.
multiplayer?
And they blew up multiple buildings, and you see them crumbling apart, and one giant one toppled. Yeah, one toppled into a smaller building, split it in half. The second half hit another one, and it brought a whole tower down. It's fantastic.
I'm very excited for this. As you guys know, I love a destructible environment, so my only concern is I was talking to John about this, and I must have gotten this wrong, but it looks like that is only in multiplayer, and I don't have full confirmation on this, but
as far as I was seeing, because for their destruction they were using
cloud.
The cloud,
yeah.
the Microsoft cloud, and I was watching a video that IGN put up of like the behind closed doors demo for it, and they were showing all the destruction for the buildings and showing like these buildings are on this server, these buildings are on this server, and they showed like different colors for each
okay.
building. And then up in the corner, they actually had like little meters, like this is your Xbox One, this is a server, this is a server, this is a server. And it would show like as destruction happened that it had to like dive into the different cloud servers to actually process everything.
I'll be interested to see what the actual statistics are
yeah.
on that, because I very much am having SimCity flashbacks hearing, oh, you need
right.
to use our cloud servers for this processing, AKA you have to always be online.
Yeah.
Well, certainly... obviously, the video, the trailer that they debuted, it was multiplayer, but
sure.
It would be interesting to see if it is destructible in first person, how they would handle that. Because, I mean, let's
in
say...
single player?
Single player.
No problem.
Let's say, you know, you level the entire city, you know, like right off the bat. How would you
I would
know,
love that,
it?
Though. That's why I was so excited. I was telling John earlier, like, what if every at the end of every single-player playthrough of Crackdown, you had a completely uniquely destroyed city?
And that would be cool if they pull it off, but also for... I mean, if you do it right off the bat and have everything destroyed, how would the game, as far as a story goes, or something, or would the buildings respawn?
Well, they are heavily touting that you have dynamic objectives and that it's a criminal web or whatever, so everything is tied to everything else. You take down a money laundering front, that affects the number of troops available at a private security firm that's paying for protection or whatever, you know. And so theoretically, I could see them bundling all of that into one system, though maybe it'd have to come from a bit of a bigger project. I mean, as you know, name brand as the Crackdown games are, I've never considered them flagship properties.
No, they've always been B-tier, which...
Some of my favorite B-tier, certainly...
It's a good B-tier. It's a B-plus tier.
I'm really hoping I really hope that this one evokes a little bit more of the first game than the second, though, because I'll be honest, I was pretty disappointed with the second one compared to the first. I did not really need zombies in my Crackdown.
No, not at all.
But yeah, so I'll be very excited to see more about that. Hopefully we can get some answers on the single player in the not-too-distant future. We got to see, I think this was the first look at the new game Scalebound, which is a sort of Monster Hunter-esque German-developed RPG.
Isn't it Hideki Kamiya who's on this?
Oh, you're on your own with
that. Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Hold on. You guys talk about it for a second.
Sure. So, I mean, it's a little confusing, the setting, but I guess it makes sort of sense in the Monster Hunter-esque sort of scenarios. You are what appears to be a modern, like, teenager.
From Earth in a different world.
Yeah, it seems, because you have a sword and shield. Everything seems to be medieval fantasy around you. You're riding a giant dragon, but you also have what appear to be Beats by Dre headphones on.
Also of note, his right arm is a dragon arm. Scaled by, dragon scales.
It's scale-bound.
People love that whole, like, swordsman with one arm that's, like, totally different from his other one. It just reminds me of Nero from Devil May Cry 4.
This might be why Hideki Kamiya. Never mind.
Glad you got back.
Continue.
On for that.
Yep. You're welcome.
But it looks pretty interesting. Personally, I'm not a giant fan of the Monster Hunter style games. There's something about their mechanics that just doesn't quite click with me. It just doesn't. The game feel is kind of strange. They're very arcadey in my opinion. But you know, this one. The graphics are pretty impressive in and of themselves, and that almost is enough.
Yes, it does look pretty.
I'll be watching someone play this, if not playing it myself.
So the guy who's doing Scalebound did Devil May Cry.
Oh, okay.
So that's funny. That's where I had that from. Yep.
You know, for me, I guess the name alone intrigued me, but no one knew what to expect when they debuted, like what kind of game we were getting, and I guess no one expected or wanted kind of what they debuted. Like, I guess I was expecting a game where you controlled dragons or had some sort of, you know...
Or could turn into a dragon.
You know, and I didn't, you know, being a guy that, like, if it's a game where I'm pointing the dragon in the direction I wanted to go, that doesn't do it for me.
You know, we've got that, and then we've also got, what's the... Oh, I'm blanking now. The PlayStation 4 Griffin...
The Last Guardian.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I'm getting the same feeling I got with The Last Guardian, which is I hate the point this NPC to this place, and he will use our barely developed contextual AI to guess what you want him to do. Like, no, just let me control him. Let me switch between them freely and let them both have terrible basic AI even. I don't care, but I hate when they're like, you're going to command a squad or you're going to command like all these people. And it's like, I just want to play the game. I don't want to tell the AI how to play the game too at the same time. I just find it distracting because it looked to me like the human combat is incredibly uncomplicated. I mean, it's a
hack and slash.
Yeah. If you watch the trailer, he's just hacking and slashing, like takes down three or four guards in like two or three swings and then just points and his dragon like steps on one guard, and it seems very slow moving and kind of clunky to me.
Very, very valid. That's kind of the vibe I got from it as well.
But it looks good, so there's that.
It's pretty.
Yes. Speaking of things that look good, Metal Gear Solid 5, we got to see some info on the mother base, and I'm actually going to pass this over to Max because he followed this very closely.
I did. I did watch all whopping 30 minutes of it. So it was a very in-depth look at Mother Base. And for anyone that played A Snake Eater, I believe it's basically a evolution of Mother Base from that game, and how you could develop and grow that.
Is that Peace Walker?
Oh, yeah, Peace Walker.
I was
going to
say, I've
Peace
played
Walker,
Snake
my
Eater,
mistake.
And I have no idea.
Yes. So, basically, you know, like we've been seeing in gameplay videos to date, you can capture soldiers and animals and things like that using this Fulton balloon. So
the
you basically
best system it, ever.
It is fantastic. You go and basically link your balloon to a person's belt and send them up into the air, and it takes them back to Mother Base, where then they're magically converted to your cause, and you assign them based on their statistics where they're needed. You can send them out on missions and things like that. So it starts off, for anyone that played the first game, Zeros, Ground Zeros, or sorry, not the first game, but the prequel. The
Stop
five.
Trying to explain the chronology of Metal Gear Solid. We'll be here for 3 hours.
It's a waste of time.
So there was
I know.
MGS3. I'm just kidding. Just go.
I'll hurt you.
Just go.
But yeah, so basically you see the oil rig, and you can build up multiple oil rigs and have a forward operating base. And there's like these almost super long, not highways are not that big, but super long roads between each connecting platform. And each one has a different purpose, research and development, farming, things like that, weapons development. One of the twists, and it's not an always online game, but the forward operating base has a multiplayer functionality. So other people can attack your base, other online players, and try to steal resources and kind of compete against each other's bases. There's some sort of hide-and-seek mechanic. I didn't delve too deeply into it.
I got to be honest, that smacks of mobile gaming to me way too much. I'm not a huge fan. In
some Clash of Clans action.
Yeah, I do not like the invasion mechanics.
Yes. Right. And you know, touching on that, Metal Gear Online is supposed to launch in the very near future as well, so who knows if it ties into that at all.
Hopefully you'll be able to opt out of having people, or I guess you could just...
Yes, it's not at all a required thing, so it's...
I just think it'd be really frustrating if you're working towards, like, an unlock, and then you come back to your base, like, after
everything's
sleeping.
Gone.
Yeah, and you... Well, I doubt it'll ever be everything, but even if it's just 10% of your
resources... Well, it did sound like it was active participation. It's the two sides are squaring off against each other at once, so you have to actively defend your base while someone's attacking.
Oh,
it.
So it's like presumably matchmake. There's like matchmaking.
Yeah, yeah, it's intentionally initiated. So
okay, well, something.
I'm assuming it, and this is just an assumption, but I think it would probably be like the zombie game whose title I can never remember, but we always talk about. But where other people could invade your game as a zombie,
Dying Light.
Yeah. I can never remember the name of it. But yeah, so anyways. It's looking good, and it's going to be out in a month.
Can't
so.
Wait. That's
yeah,
very,
yeah.
very
so
top
soon.
On the hype train.
That's pretty exciting. Okay, here's one that I have been really looking forward to for a while. We got to see our first glimpse of Mafia 3.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of the Mafia series, even if they are kind of B games. Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting twist on this one that has me already instantly hooked. You are not playing as a member of the Italian mob in this one, thank goodness.
Thank God.
You are instead playing as a black ex-Vietnam, I think, vet
yeah.
who has returned to the States, and apparently his family was murdered or is murdered in front of him.
So
and
he makes his
by
own
the mob.
Family.
Yes, and so he is building his own family.
It's
and
so
it's,
cool.
It looks really exciting. The music selection
great.
In the trailer was yep. wonderful.
It's
two of my favorite songs.
It's the usual Vietnam era.
Yes,
it's
all along the Watchtower and House of the Rising Sun.
Yep.
And I love the hair on the what looks to be one of the female protagonists. She's got the giant, like, 70s fro that's really yep. great. And, like, I don't know. It just – you can really feel – it's set in the South. And so it's just got this feel
yeah.
that it's, like – there's so much atmosphere going yeah. on, even just in the trailer.
It's something different from a typical – mafia-related
yes.
storyline.
Right.
It's not New York. It's not Vegas. It's...
And you're not a member of the Italian mafia,
right,
which
right.
is great. Especially because the first two games didn't really do as much with that setup
no.
as they could have. I definitely would have liked them to have gone a little further with the Italian mob thing, but I'm pretty much burned out on that now.
Yeah.
So I think it
yeah,
was
right.
great.
It's been done
the
so many
developers
times.
Actually came out and said that they're trying to get the word mafia away from just, you know, Italian organized crime and really just every organized crime in that era that was kind of...
Isn't mafia an Italian word?
We'd have to
I
research
guess I
that, but
saying.
That's what they were saying,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
just against
sure.
the typical or away from the typical connotation of what comes to mind immediately.
Absolutely. Well, and they got me because I wasn't expecting it, and when I found out, I was very, very pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's going to be one to keep an eye on as well. We got some more news about Xbox One's backwards compatibility. This is actually really cool. It looks like anything that is part of the Games with Gold system is going to have full backwards compatibility for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
So if you have an Xbox One, instead of just getting the two games a month, you're getting four now.
Yep.
You're getting two 360 titles and two Xbox One titles.
And I've
you
had
guys
some...
want to go into this a bit?
Well, I've had some experience with the backwards compatibility this week specifically. I've been playing the Rare Replay Collection.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Technically, the backwards compatibility won't be out till November, but they do have hooks in Rare Replay to do 360 games for, like, Nuts and Bolts or Perfect Dark Zero.
Just not super well-optimized, kind of?
There, I mean, it's in there. It's optimized enough. I remember Nuts and Bolts running at, like, 15 frames per second anyways, so...
Oh, like in the original release? Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So, like, that
Why
all
Why are you
runs
playing Nuts and Bolts?
Because I like the idea of it, and I haven't played it since it released, so I wanted to try it again. And it was there.
Those are good reasons, but
there.
A bad conclusion.
I'm going to be playing Viva Pinata soon, so...
Hey, man, Viva Pinata is much better
I'm super pumped for that.
I'm just saying, if you're going to play something on Rare Replay, and it's going to be a Banjo-Kazooie game, you got two great options.
But,
well, one great one, one decent one.
True. But having this news come out that everything going forward that's Games with Gold on 360 is going to be backwards compatible is huge, mainly because it's good for game preservation.
Yes, agreed.
And also, there's a bunch of games that come out on there that I'm like, oh, I really want to play that, but I don't want to hook up my 360.
Sure.
That sounds lazy, but it's not where I'm at usually. I'm not... My 360's at home. I stay at my girlfriend's place. So it's like, oh, I could go home and get that, but it's... It's not here.
It's not worth the time.
So if I could just boot it up in the Xbox One, that's way nicer.
Definitely, and also, it makes sense. This is a sensible move.
Well,
I mean,
they made it so it's all software wise. So all people need to do is really opt into the system, anyways.
Sure.
So why not do it?
And it
way?
Effectively doubles the amount of games you're getting,
sure.
Whereas PlayStation 4 is still locked in at the two. So
exactly.
It'll be interesting to see what they do as a counter.
Well, and especially because PlayStation is running out of games to give out on PS Plus, as I understand. I mean, they've been going for so long and they've given out so much, they're going to have to start repeating themselves very soon.
Well, they
just
started a vote, or they're going to be doing a voting system.
I see.
Which is pretty nice. So, players can vote for which games they want to be on PS Plus.
That's nice and not nice, because I could see there being a lot of, like, I mean, I know this is an Xbox game, but I could see, like, Garden Warfare getting voted up there and that kind of thing, where it's like, well, who's voting on this?
I think that,
like,
already was one. For
it
for
was,
PS4.
I believe,
oh,
yeah.
My point being that, like, I just could see, like, usually Steam has voting things, it's, like, three, like, random anime games, because there's, like, one group just bombed the poll, and now nobody gets good games except for they get the game they wanted. You know, and so I'll be interested to see how that actually shakes out. But I do think that it's worth noting that Xbox has done a really good job of, like, in, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks now of announcements, they've completely swept the subscription model that Sony had locked down for so many years out from under them. Like, I mean, I would say that as far as free stuff goes, the Xbox is now the better deal.
Yeah, and going into
it depends on if you really like Rocket League, I guess.
See,
I do really like
game
Rocket
changer.
League. But going into the holiday season unopposed, as far as exclusives and things like that, it's Microsoft's year to shine.
And now with all this new backwards compatibility stuff, it makes parents who, you know, and people who have waited because they have a huge 360 library sitting, you know, at home, it makes them more willing to upgrade to the One because they know that they'll have more support, if not full support.
Well, like, for people who buy the new Gears of War Ultimate Edition, they get all four Gears games that have been out on Xbox 360.
Same with the new Vegas game they're throwing in, I believe, the Rainbow Six game they're throwing in, Vegas 1 and 2.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
And when you get Fallout 4, they're throwing in Fallout 3.
It's a cool trend to see the developers doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, I still think it's kind of I guess it's inevitable because of the variable architecture with the different consoles, but I still do laugh a little bit just because, you know, I still have the first two Vegas games. I think I might even have Rainbow Six Vegas 1 on my PC right now installed.
Well, so going back to the point before about like Xbox One having about four games per month as opposed to PS4 having about two.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cross-buy games that happen on PS Plus. So sometimes it is 4, sometimes it's 5. So if it's a PS3, one of their quote unquote PS3 PS Plus games, but there's a PS4 version out, they do the cross-buy version.
Oh,
So you could
sure.
do both theoretically with that.
That
Fair
I didn't
enough.
know.
Still though, not guaranteed
Sure,
every
sure.
month.
Yep.
But yeah,
Yep.
definitely. That's worth noting. And then last big news thing we got out of Gamescom so far was the Quantum Break trailer, which it looks interesting.
It's
What do
more
you guys think?
shootery than I thought it would be.
Yeah, almost a little too much in my opinion.
The thing that bothers me is it seems like you're slowing down. I guess the concept of the game, but it seems like you just freeze time
Yeah, it
and
doesn't
kill
seem like that
everybody, and
fun of a
then
concept, or even as original as I was thinking. Like, I almost feel like I've seen it
And then,
before. I can't
of
put my finger
course,
on where.
there's the enemies with the like magic time
StarCraft.
travel packs on their back, so it doesn't affect them. And then you just, it doesn't
Yeah.
seem that creative.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. They did a really bad job selling the story to me in the trailer because I couldn't care less. The way that they delivered the exposition was so ham-fisted, I was just like, okay, I
And
get
also
it.
they
Something
showed
about a
us
time machine.
it was different, but they showed us gameplay already a few months back, or maybe it was 6 months ago
It
now, but
was a long we haven't seen this
That was
game
years
in a
back.
couple years,
No,
yeah.
it wasn't a couple
Are you talking
years.
about, all I can remember was the trailer where there's like the three-dimensional camera spinning around the
That
frozen
was
scene. That
that
was
was
like
a while ago,
a
but
year or
two ago.
they had a and I'll look it up to clarify, but they had a 10-minute long gameplay demo that they were showing off not too long ago,
Oh, I must
and
have missed that.
this gameplay, it was a different setting, but it matched that. What I want to see is, and I get the game's still far off, but show us what we're doing in the downtime when we're not doing the shooting, or how you're gonna have these episodes and the like acting and things tie into it.
Also, it'd be nice if the environments were a little more varied. As cool as the time bending effect is ish, I wouldn't say it's super cool, but as nice as it does look, the background environments are incredibly forgettable looking. They were very bland city environments that to me look like slightly decorated hallways that they're forcing you down. And so I'm hoping that that's not the case, but to be honest, I'm actually a little less excited about this than before I saw the trailer.
I mean, there's a lot of information to parse through for it because they do have that TV show aspect of it. And it almost seems like they switched a lot of the cast from what they've shown before. I don't know, it just
Yeah,
the
that I
main
don't know
character looked
either.
way different, and I don't know what kind of work they've been doing on all that stuff, but
It seems
if
like
they've
it's
had to
in development
retool
forever.
it has been. It's a Remedy game, so it's going to be in development. Well, it comes out next year, so another
A new
year
Alan
and a
Wake
half.
game will come out before it's done.
Right, exactly.
Just Night Falls.
So yeah, that's pretty exciting. And that kind of closes our Gamescom coverage. But there were a couple other little things in the news that are worth touching on. Among others, Elite Dangerous is going to be introducing planetary landings. They're going to have an all-terrain vehicle type car, and also you're going to be able to fly over stuff, which I guess is really exciting. I'm
I
not an
mean,
Elite
technically,
player,
you're flying
so
over stuff all the time.
yeah, I know. Well, over is
Constantly.
relative, but
That's true.
yes.
That's true.
I don't really like space games or flight simulators, like I said earlier, but I know that you've played quite a bit of it, John. You want to weigh in?
I have played about 30 seconds of Elite Dangerous.
I have played a good chunk of it, so
thank you for
Yes,
saving the
all
segment.
good.
Not a problem. But so honestly, it comes down to basically just transporting goods in space right now, and it's some people have described as therapeutic or relaxing. It's almost like the trucking simulators, except in space.
It's like Eve without conflict.
Yeah, I mean, there's some
There is
fun.
my
Conflict,
God, that sounds so boring. That sounds like the worst. That's not even a
but
game.
there's no spreadsheets.
It has some questionable points, but they're bringing some kind of story content, or at least bringing their systems more to the front, because right now it's kind of buried deep and very technical. You have to do some online walkthroughs and things like that on
Sure.
YouTube to figure everything out. It is exciting that they're going to do the planetary landing just to see what it's like,
Why?
and because I would love to be able to just explore on a greater depth, because right now you go from area to area with just different planets as a background object, and
Sure.
some of them look very well designed artistically. It would be just, I think if they pull it off right, and maybe there's some first-person combat or actually interesting things to see on the planet. I mean, they're kind of beating No Man's Sky to the punch.
I guess,
So
although I
I've
didn't see any, I mean, maybe I missed it, but I didn't see any evidence that you're you're leaving your ship and walking around on the
surface. I know they didn't explicitly say that. I'm just saying if it gets to that point where
And also I didn't get the vibe at all that the surface was like especially interactable. It sounded more like they're explorable. Like I didn't did they mention any objectives of any kind
mind
on them?
Things?
No, but it was a very just kind of a little flyer-esque announcement.
Sure,
they didn't go into great detail at this point.
To be honest, I don't expect them to do a ton with it, only because they said there's going to be billions of planets you can visit, and I have trouble believing there's going to be super amount of detail.
I know another game that has billions of planets that you can land on.
Yeah, but the entire draw of that game is landing on billions of planets, whereas, as we
mentioned,
Elite is a glorified space trucking simulator.
Right.
Which a lot of people are enjoying, and I kind of wish I was into those kinds of games.
Yes. I do have the flight stick controls and everything for that, and the combat is quite fun. I enjoy
That's cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, speaking of games that I don't know a ton about, Dragon Age Inquisition has its first DLC, or its first big DLC?
Second, actually.
Okay.
Jaws of Harkon.
Apologies, I misspoke, yes. It has its second big DLC coming out, the Descent.
First one without PS3 and Xbox 360 compatibility.
You're going to be exploring the deep roads. There are some earthquakes causing concern above ground, and it's time to figure out what's going on down there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's about all we know, really, right?
Yep, pretty much. But it's interesting because it's releasing very soon, and it also came out of nowhere. There was no lead up to this.
Nice.
Same with the last one.
I like that. I'm almost getting fatigued about how much notice we're getting on games nowadays. Maybe it's because we follow it so closely, but I don't need to know about a game 5 years out. I think it's like the Kickstarter effect almost.
Right.
How many years has Star Citizen been in development now?
Well, with the Souls games, there's just general fatigue because of everything, you know, sequel after sequel. Just you don't have enough time to just sit down and enjoy a game you really want to, because you have to finish it because the next game's coming out.
Exactly. God knows when I'm actually going to get around to trying to finish The Witcher 3.
It's a big game.
Too big, almost. But yeah, that's my problem, not having enough time, not their problem. I'm glad I want them to put all the content they can in it, because who knows, maybe I'll spend 2 years playing it in a little while. But that's pretty interesting. We'll have to see. I'm hoping that they're going to release a DLC for Dragon Age that's going to really, really get me excited. I'll be interested to hear what people have to say about it, because previously we've seen excellent DLC in the form of like Awakening, and so I wouldn't mind. I'm going to give it a shot, that's for sure. We got some new news about Hearthstone's Grand Tournament, or as which I refuse to call it. I will continue to say Argent, because I don't know why they're wiping that from the actual lore. But, they're adding in a terrible new card ability and a little tiny bit of new rewards to sprinkle on you at the end of every month. The jousting ability has been added.
What is that?
It's so dumb. It's RNG nonsense. You both reveal a random creature from your deck or a random card, and the one with the higher mana cost, quote-unquote, wins. And then you get an additional ability on a card.
Like, I'll read an actual ability. So the Battle Cry of the Master Jouster, it's a rare card. Reveal a minion in each deck. If yours costs more, gain Taunt and Divine Shield. So basically, you know, your minion gets played. If you have the better one, then
it's literally Clash from Magic the Gathering.
It's war.
It's literally Clash from Magic the Gathering. It's probably one of the least exciting new. I mean, after hearing that is really, really disappointing after how exciting the previous announcement was. What's the name of the other new ability? The hero power specialized stuff?
Inspire.
Yes.
And that actually is a cool idea, because I've looked at the cards they've revealed so far, and I can't off the top of my head read any of their abilities, but basically
the mana cost by one, make it so you can use your hero ability an unlimited number of times, draw a card every time you use your hero ability,
I really like that they empower the hero ability more.
Right.
Other times it's like, I have two mana, might as well just use my hero ability.
Right. No one's actively going out of their way to use it, basically.
Yep.
And they also said, you know, there's going to be ways to replace your ability and things like that. So
yeah, and power it up and stuff.
Right.
There's some really cool new cards with that. And so, to be honest, hearing Joust, maybe they should have done Joust first. Because this just is like, I don't even, is it even a named ability? It sounded like they have about three cards announced that have it. I just can't see building a deck that's like, I have artificially inflated mana costs, so I have a slightly better chance to win a random battle. Like, I hate RNG, and after Goblins and Gnomes, I really don't think that Hearthstone needs additional RNG.
Right.
I do appreciate the additional rewards, though.
Yes, even if they are just a pat on the head. A little bit of dust and maybe one or two gold cards.
Yeah, but I mean, you can get rid of those gold cards for a chunk of dust and actually put it towards a card you want.
Well, we don't know that, but sure. It's possible. I could see them giving out non-disenchantable ones as well. We'll see.
That's true. Like unique ones. I would hope that's not what they do.
I hope so as well. You're right.
I mean, one to three gold cards and some amount of dust, I'm assuming it would have to be based on how far up the ladder you get.
Yeah, which means you won't be seeing any gold cards, Max. But
you have to hit 20, so I'll get one and some dust. But no, that's a valid joke.
But that said, I don't know. I'm pretty excited, although, to be honest, it happens once a month. Just give us a pack. God dang, you guys. Like, you're going to give us some dust and maybe one gold card at the end of a month of play.
Oh, that's a month?
Yeah, that's a month.
That's not like at the end of a game?
No, that's the end of each season they're doing that. Yeah, and right. So it's like I already get a free pack every week from the Tavern Brawl and, you know, three to four free packs from my daily quests. I'm not gonna be excited. This isn't going to make me more likely to log in and get to rank 20. I mean,
sure.
The card backs were much better incentive in my opinion, because at least it's a unique reward that you can never get again, and that like makes you feel like you can show it off like down the line and be like, I'm an OG card back owner, you know, which is cool. Which I actually missed out on. I played too early in Hearthstone and
then
stopped playing. Well, I didn't give up. I just lost interest for a bit, and they released the card backs, and everyone got, like, the first 10 of them.
Yep, same happened to me.
Then I joined in again and was like, oh, man, now I don't get any OG cred for this game. I wouldn't if I could. Unlike Max, I am not going to break down and spend over $100 on this game.
I think I have 20 bucks in Blizzard money just sitting there, so maybe I'll pick up a little... pick up some cards, maybe play some Hearthstone.
You can pre-order the...
You could almost afford one of the single-player zones.
Almost.
Well worth it, by the way. You get some excellent cards from
Not well worth $25.
Those ones I would grind out the gold for. That sounds like a way better use of my time and money.
I don't know if either of those is true.
Well, I will say
it's 700 gold per wing, per zone.
By the time I like grind that out, I will understand the game more and will be better at it.
I just straight up use my gold on card packs. Yeah. I've been having some excellent.
That's all
luck.
I've ever done.
I had back-to-back legendaries the last two I opened.
And I hate you.
And then you saw the picture of the one I showed you the other podcast with a bunch of purples and blues.
I have gotten two legendaries in the entire time I've played.
I always just build up for the arena and then just do that. And then
I'm not an arena player. I play all ranked.
Yeah
same ranked. For me. Arena just... I feel like I just get crap draws every time.
Well, it's RNG,
I know. It's terrible.
I'm not a huge...
Just fun. I mean, you just get random stuff, try to build the deck.
I like using
rocked,
strategy.
Like, three games in a row.
I mean, I played with as long as I played like other card games and stuff like that. Like the whole appeal is building a deck and playing. If you don't want to play if you don't want to build your deck, you might as well not play a card.
Well,
game.
The thing for Arena for me is there's a bunch of cards I haven't played with yet, and that gives me the chance to and see what they're like in the context of a random crap deck.
That's fair.
I guess.
It's not like you don't know
what a card does by just reading
it.
But
it's like, but when
it's
you actually
cool
have
it
in a deck and you're like, oh, so this is how this can play with something else. Like that's
my deal with it is that it's so hard to build a deck because you don't know what's coming up next.
Right.
You know, so like, oh, this card would be great if I get these other cards that I want to play it with.
And all too often, I've gone just straight up 0-3, which is really upsetting.
Yeah.
Or wait, 3-0.
But you get
I don't know.
A pack
I don't play
from
sports.
It at least.
Yeah, so. But it costs.
It costs
a pack and a half.
More.
So why would I like? It's probably more efficient if you have any luck, if you're really skilled at arena particularly. But I'm much more of a fan of. I've always loved making my own custom decks, and so it takes half the fun out for me. I can see why though. It sounds like the really good players all put all their gold into arena because it actually has a slightly higher dividend.
Right.
Which is cool. Let's round up the news with quite a touchy and interesting one. So Konami is getting even more heat from a Japanese newspaper now.
The Nikkei?
Yeah, I'll let you pronounce it, yes. Is that it?
Yeah,
the
let's
Nikkei?
Just go with that.
Okay. Apparently Konami is just in shambles right now. I don't even know what's happening. They have ex-game designers working security jobs. Everyone is on camera 24/7. If you take too long of a lunch break, they're calling your name and shaming you on their like overhead speakers.
Don't forget the randomized emails unless you're a part of, I believe, PR.
Yeah, yeah. And in case you guys are wondering what he means by that, your email address changes day to day.
Yeah, when like they decide to give you one.
Exactly. If you have one at any given time.
So this makes me a little bit less mad that Konami's not really even making games anymore, because I don't want
what?
That kind of company making my games. What are you confused by?
Well, I'm mostly confused because, as I understand it, these are all these changes have happened in the last year and a half or
sure.
so. But because they're not making games anymore.
Sure, but if like something like Metal Gear is happening there, if they continue to make games under that work environment, I don't want it.
Yeah,
you're not going to get a quality product out of a workforce that's treated like that.
No. Yeah, exactly. Well, and the sheer disrespect to their employees after they repeatedly are almost. I mean, they're almost mocking people for all of the speculation people have been doing and saying, like, they're obviously going away from this, and they're like, we're not going away from game development, and we're not doing this, and then little by little we're seeing that they are doing this and they are doing that. And now to hear how they're treating their ex-game development employees, it's disturbing. I mean, it's horrifying. I can't even imagine. I mean, this is... I'm blown away. I mean, this is not just a story that came out of an anonymous source from Konami. This is Nikkei is a very well-established Japanese newspaper that is quite trustworthy for something like this, as I understand it. And so this is not just, you know, some blogger somewhere
who
heard a rumor. This is
I'm on their website, but it's all squiggly.
Right. And so... unfortunately, you know, I'm sure they're still going to make really good money off of the new Metal Gear Solid, but like John said, I would be quite happy to hear that they are going to all mobile, because I don't play many mobile games, and I do not want to support this company.
Pachinko. Apparently there's a new Silent Hill Pachinko game.
Is Pachinko even legal in the U.S.?
Yes, I saw that.
Do they have Pachinko machines in, like, casinos?
Not in casinos, no, but I think they're legal in places where you can gamble.
Like casinos?
Yeah, but I was at a casino last week. And
sure,
I didn't see
sure.
One there.
Maybe in Vegas or something.
We're more of a slots
it.
Country
yes.
than anything. Maybe some blackjack.
Sure. Which, for the record, this is gaming related. Video slots. What happened to slot machines, man? I know they're fun and all that.
They give
but
you that dopamine.
I guess.
That sweet brain juice.
It doesn't give me, like, I don't get excited by it because. There's no anticipation because I fundamentally don't understand how they work anymore.
Yeah,
you don't line up the icons anymore. It's
when you
just
get
like,
five pandas and then like all the pandas start dancing.
Yeah, and the pandas
so
are
good.
In the shape of like a C and they just draw a line connecting them even though it's not have they changed all the rules of slots? I thought the whole point of
For
slots
ones,
is you're
yeah.
trying to line up three images.
Now it's
You thought wrong.
Now it's five and
yeah.
now they give you 48 chances.
I saw one that was seven.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
crazy. Anyways, that was just my little aside, but I do not understand these things.
While we're on the gambling understood. Machines, though, expand upon the Silent Hills pachinko machine, because that trailer came
the
out.
The super
and
sexy
they're like,
one, you mean?
They're like, hey, we have a new Silent
wait,
Hills
was that,
game.
Was that? Wait, that was Silent Hill? I thought that was a... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the other Konami.
Is there a Castlevania one?
Yes.
Okay, good.
The super sexy Castlevania game that was just announced.
I saw something like that today, but
yeah.
I was trying to find stuff on it. I couldn't. Yeah, I mean, they're doubling down on pachinko and gambling and mobile stuff, so this really doesn't surprise me. But yeah, there's a Silent Hills pachinko machine. If you want to play the next Silent Hill game, you can spend a ton of money on it.
Yes.
A ton. Of money on it. Just waste it.
So, this can't be real, can it?
What?
So, apparently, there's a new Castlevania pachinko game that is legitimately called Castlevania Erotic Violence.
Mm.
I'm not going to go into detail. You can look it up for yourself if you want, but this is the future of Konami.
A moment of silence, please.
Ding. So Ding. Sad. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for news this week. We'll have some more from Gamescom for you guys next week. But let's bring things to a close with our what we've played this week. Let's get started with John. He said he had quite a list.
Well, I guess a lot of it's Rare Replay. So
okay. So you can just say Rare Replay.
Yeah. I mean, I played some Conker's Bad Fur Day. Played some Jetpack. Some Nuts and Bolts. A little bit of Jet Force Gemini, which was almost unplayable until today when they patched in like normal modern controls to
That's funny. I was going to say, because wasn't it always unplayable?
They had it where the right stick, if you flicked it up, you'd jump.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Good thing I didn't get to any combat parts before I figured that out. But yeah, I tried the new controls today. They make more sense. The right stick is strafe. You can actually jump with A.
Cool.
And you can go into your zoomed mode and actually look around like you normally would with the right stick.
That's good.
What else have I played? Battletoads. Battletoads is on there.
That's
a game. Battletoads Arcade is definitely better than the original Battletoads.
That's what I've heard. I've said
isn't surprising.
What I've heard is if you really want to play a Battletoads game, this is the one to play. Yep.
And then Blast Corps. Blast Corps is the best game on that collection. It's an N64 game where you drove around as different vehicles destroying cities,
clearing the way
for an explosive truck. So the only
it's
time
C-O-R-P-S,
I ever...
C-O-R-P-S,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. I got that from Blockbuster back in the day.
Yeah, I did too. So when I got it from Blockbuster back in the day, someone had 100%ed everything in there, and I didn't know how to delete the save. So I'd go into every level, and there was nothing to blow up at all. So I never really got to play it before. So now that this came out, started a fresh save, it's amazing. It's super fun. Everyone should go check that out if they pick up Rare Replay. I guess the other thing kind of related to that is also at Gamescom, Microsoft announced that Rash from Battletoads is coming to Killer Instinct.
Yes, I did see the fight video for that. It looks pretty sweet.
So he's actually available for the next month in Killer Instinct as a beta period for Season 3.
And the only requirement is that you have purchased some sort of Killer Instinct content.
Yep.
So even if you're Season 1, I believe you have access.
And
pretty cool. And you have to have Rare Replay. And have
need Rare Replay.
Yep. So when you start up Battletoads, it'll actually give you an achievement, which I believe then unlocks Rash and Killer Instinct. He's fun. I don't know. He plays like a Battletoad. He has a big foot that he kicks with. He turns into a wrecking ball.
That's cool.
Little motorbike thing. He fits in that world, so
sure.
I'm cool with it.
That's a nice little crossover. I like that.
It's a
nice nod.
Well, it's a Rare game, so like both of them are Rare games.
Yeah, so. But they're still different universes.
Yep.
But yeah.
They've hinted at other guest characters too, so we'll see what actually comes from that.
Conker would be
the
awesome.
Great Mighty Pooh.
I don't know that a character that mostly shoots would be a super great fit in a fighting game, but maybe.
Sure.
Yoda worked great in Soul Calibur.
Yeah, he was wonderful. He totally wasn't the odd job of Soul Calibur games.
Nothing high will hit him. And then you've been playing Galaxy.
Yes, I picked it up the other day. So
this is that 2D roguelike thing, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Anime theme.
Yeah, it's based on kind of a television setup where there's seasons and 5 episodes per season, and you need to make it to the end of each season without completely dying. Obviously, like any roguelike game, you're going to lose your progress and your unlocks if you do die. You can find blueprints in space that will permanently be available in the store, so you can always kind of like try to save up to purchase things you've unlocked in the past.
Do you lose your money when you die?
Yes.
But you can find these things called crash coins, and there's the vendor, his name is Crash, and you don't get to sell the crash coins until you die. So when you start a new life over, you have some funds to kick it off.
Is it kind of Rogue Legacy-ish, where you have like you're unlocking stuff as you play? There's like a there's kind of a two-tiered game system. No.
So I haven't died yet, so I don't know exactly what you lose.
Oh, wow!
I'm so good. No, I'm still in the prologue. But you gain like different weapon modifiers, and every time you start a new episode, you get to choose which weapon modifiers you want to put on your ship.
Right. Or you can find them in game while you're flying around space. Some will automatically apply. Some will unlock for purchase. It's all randomized.
And when you say weapon modifiers, now this is kind of a shmuppy sort of game, right?
It is.
And so, like, is it When you say weapon modifiers, is it changing the actual...
Spreadshot.
Okay, so it's not just like plus one attack.
Fast
right,
auto fire.
Right. No, it's very visual, very
awesome.
Power
yep.
changing.
I might have
so,
to check this
yep.
out.
Yep.
Also, something about transforming.
Yeah, so you can transform into a mech.
Heck yeah.
With the laser
Robotech.
Sword.
That's pretty so, rad.
I haven't gotten to that part yet. I'm super excited for it. I fought a mech, and
yeah.
apparently they're supposed to be super dangerous, but I... You know, I
didn't understand that you're supposed to run like I did.
I
ran into
no
some lava
him.
And I died. So
just kite him for 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, that was basically it.
I fought lava, so I don't need your help.
Like the controls take a little bit of getting used to, but they're
yeah.
they're fair enough.
And
I'd
you have
say.
To oh yeah, you have to unlock certain abilities, and it all comes through the tutorial, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But like you can strafe and juke and things like that, and it's I mean once. The ball gets rolling and there's a bunch of enemies, like it is a hard game. Like
mm-hmm.
it takes some skill and practice.
Interesting. Sounds like something worth checking out. What's
yep.
the price tag on that one?
$20.
Yep. Mm-hmm. For a lot of content, plenty of
and
replayability.
It's only on PS4 right now, I believe.
Yeah.
So
I'm always on the fence about it's only PS4 anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I guess that's out
at the moment. It's from 8 or 17-bit. They did Skulls of the Shogun.
Oh, okay.
So
I like those.
There's
guys.
Even
they're
a skull painted
the
on the side of the ship,
don't understand
too,
how
so.
Exclusivity should work.
Yep. So they started off just on 360 and then moved to PC and then PS4 and Vita and
Wait,
iPad and all
wasn't
that
Skulls
stuff.
Of the Shogun actually originally a Windows 8 exclusive?
And Xbox, I believe.
Oh, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
a live arcade game.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, that and that was a pretty good game.
Yeah, it's
it wasn't
great,
but not bad.
So.
Yeah, so you know, I'll be interested. Maybe when it's on sale. 20 is a bit steep for a
sure.
two-dimensional game for me.
I picked it up like the day before, where they had like a 30% off.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah, part of their summer sale deal. Yeah.
Nice, awesome. Well, yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. Then we'll be picking that up when
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about that more
yeah.
next week
as we progress
play more.
Past
yeah.
the. Yeah, if I can stop dying.
I'll never die. I'm gonna
well, you
forever.
Will at the end of the season. Everything resets. So every time you progress through a season...
Doesn't mean I die.
Well, your ship dies.
Oh, what?
But,
spoilers.
Spoilers.
Well, no, I'm not... I'm just...
Huge spoilers.
Your ship doesn't actually die. I'm
game
saying
is
you lose all your
oh,
progress.
By the way, the main character's name is Atak, which is the dumbest name in the world.
I don't get it.
No.
Can you explain?
That's rough. All right,
A-tack.
Well, let's move on from this one, as exciting as it is.
Oh, like attack.
Atak.
Jeez, you guys.
It's A-tack.
So it's my turn. I
thought it was
have
my turn.
Started and... No, you just did Galaxy. I have both started and finished Arkham Knight this week. And
thoughts.
Gosh darn.
Feelings, emotions.
And just so everyone knows, don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything. But...
Is Batman in it?
Thoughts. Mechanically, I love everything except for the Batmobile.
That seems to be a common...
It was literally what I was afraid of when we first talked about this
mm-hmm.
months ago. I think everything's been improved really well. I absolutely adore flying around the city, if only they didn't force me to drive half the time. I mean, there's so much content that's the vehicle combat that's so goofy and just strange. Now, I did not take your advice and get any upgrades, Max, for my Batmobile.
Okay.
I care much more about being able to fly faster
the
and stuff. Man. Yes, exactly. I'm a fan of actually punching things with my fists and not just shooting ridiculously convoluted plot devices into people to not kill them. But,
it's
you know, story, excellent. Although, let it be known, if you're a fan of the series, it's like a true like Batman fan who knows the comic book arcs. You probably are going to know what's happening going in. It's mm-hmm. exciting, though. It's a mashup of three of my favorite arcs. I won't say which in case you aren't sure about all of the reveals in the game, but it is really well done. There are certain characters in particular who do incredible performances, and I was very impressed by it. Voice acting, excellent. The motion capture and animation, really good. And... without giving any spoiler or anything, for those of you who saw or heard me comment on how bad Batman's facial textures looked to me, there is reasons. So don't always judge a book by its cover. That's the lesson on this one.
Did you notice as you played through the story how, and again, spoiler free, but certain things of the city change, billboards,
yeah,
statues,
I was
like
less
that.
Impressed by that. Everybody made such a big deal out of that. And then
that's
also
attention to detail.
also the whole, like, once you finish the story, they say, like, a bunch of dialogue changes and stuff like that. I was also quite underwhelmed by that. I almost wish no one had said anything about that.
Oh, it seemed like a little bit more like a surprise. Like, oh, okay, that's neat that they did that.
Just out of curiosity, how many of the side quests had you completed by that point?
I had completed 4 of the most wanted things completely.
So I left.
I deliberately rushed through the main because I wanted to see what the changed stuff was.
Okay.
I was kind of hoping that, well, I don't want to get into anything, so.
Right. We'll save it.
It was quite good, yeah. One of these weeks, I think we might just do a, maybe when Arkham Knight PC releases officially.
We'll ruin it for all the PC players.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the PC players can just tune out. It'll be a spoiler cast, you know, 1 week off. Then they can tune back in once they finish the game and they want to hear our opinions on it.
Why don't we just do like a special edition podcast for that?
That's what I said, spoiler cast. We're good.
I thought you just meant like the same podcast, but like with the spoiler stuff in it. Never mind. Continue,
anyways,
Henry.
Moving
on.
But yeah, so that's something that I've been playing. I had a lot of fun playing it. If you're a fan of Batman, check it out. If you are a comic fan, this is the most comic book friendly rendition of Batman that WB has ever done, by far. They constantly reference multiple comic book arcs. In fact, you aren't really going to recognize the whole setup at the beginning of the game because it was not hinted at, like, all the characters that are involved at the beginning of this one. So, pleasant surprise. Really enjoyed it. Expecting to completely hate it. And honestly, as bad as the Batmobile segments are, I was able to tough my way through them, and it was worth it just for more story. Good. So, I would recommend it as a buy. Maybe wait for it to be a little bit cheaper on sale, though.
Sure. One thing to note also this week, the Red Hood DLC is available for play. It was originally part of the pre-order for GameStop, but now anyone that has the season pass can access it. As far as the add-on content goes, we've talked about the Batgirl DLC.
Probably pass.
Right, yeah, just it's 30 minutes. There's no character development, no story. It's just you going up against Black Mask and his thugs, and it's pretty dismal.
And just so everyone knows, the reason that the DLC is not worthwhile is not necessarily because of just how much it pales in comparison to the main story. Because the main story sets the bar extremely high, and so not getting a full tie-in to that story and like really good character development really does burn it out. It's not exciting enough. If you just want to try out non-Batman characters, there's plenty of other ways to do it. That's all I'll say.
Agreed.
Yeah, so that that was a lot of fun. John, what else have you been playing this week? I know you got quite a few left here.
Time Clickers.
Oh, Time Clickers. I tried this. Have you played this yet, Max?
It's a clicker
game. I've
not heard of it, no.
It's a clicker game, a la Cookie Clicker. Any of those?
Yeah. It's a shooter.
I don't understand why.
You have a gun, you shoot cubes, and the cubes lose life.
May be the worst clicker I've ever played. I don't understand the appeal. I play a lot of those clickers.
Yeah.
I actually like them a lot.
What was that, Goat Evolution?
Yes, it's a little less clickery. It's more a little bit more thinking involved.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know about that.
It's almost like threes mixed with a clicker.
Yeah, kind of. It's cute. Basically, you get random goats, and then you combine matching goats, and they evolve into goofier-looking goats, and you build it bigger and bigger till you're like you have goats the size of the planet.
And then it's like Katamari-style. Like,
I just watched the trailer on Steam. It makes me sad that you are playing this.
Well, I mean, they're clicker games. I'm not going to lie. it should make you feel sad, but at the same time...
It's one of those games that you can do while you're watching something. It's an idle
game.
So, like, you can pay attention to it for a few seconds, go away for a while, come back, go to bed... Like, wake up and notice how much money you have to upgrade all your stuff.
Yeah, because it, like, runs in the background.
Right,
and stuff.
Right.
Like, you don't actually have to have it open.
You know, it gives you that little bit of gratification.
I mean, let's be honest. These things are basically hotwiring our pleasure centers in our brains. Like, it's a reward pathway hijacking. It's kind of terrifying, actually. You feel dirty while you're playing it because you know...
so good
you
about
know,
it.
Well, because it's literally... There's no story. It's not rewarding gameplay. It's not, but those numbers just keep getting bigger.
They do.
So exciting. I don't know.
I don't really have much more on my list. I played some of the new characters in Mortal Kombat that I haven't yet.
Sure.
So,
have you gotten a chance to try out Street Fighter V yet, or is it still broken?
Yeah, no. So
we haven't had you on since you played.
That's right. So the weekend that the beta was happening, it was down a lot of the time. I did manage to play a couple matches.
Training matches or actual matches?
Both. I was in training for a long time.
That's a joke.
Once you actually get in, they put you into a training mode until they match you up with somebody. So you have a chance to kind of play around with the character.
Right, right.
But if you don't get picked up for a match, like, you're going to be in training for hours and hours.
Right.
So,
which is not actually, I mean, could be worse.
Right.
At least you get to play around with your character.
Yeah, exactly. You get to learn that character. You get to tweak some things for training so you can see what works and what doesn't. I won my first match, which was... I did not see that one coming because I kind of suck at games right away.
$20 says the player timed out from the server issue.
No, it was actually a perfect connection. It was my second match.
Funny
that,
that it's
had
almost
a...
like it was a replacement AI.
What? Why would that be? My second match was a little bit laggy, but they were having issues all around.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was a bit of a fiasco, which is fine because it was supposed to be a stress test, but it's hilarious that the stress test lasted seconds before their servers crashed.
Yeah, and it is a beta, and I'm glad that this is happening now and not when people are actually paying for the game. Although people did have to pre-order to actually get into the beta, but if you if you do the Amazon pre-order, you don't pay anything today.
Right. I mean, I'm still waiting on that Doom beta, and you don't hear me complaining.
Yeah, that's true. You'll probably get that in like 4 years.
Yeah.
5 years. No, I mean it's a fun game. Had a couple characters to play around with. My favorite so far was probably Ryu, because he's just the easiest one to get into. I
sure.
played mostly Ryu, Nash, and Cammy.
Is Ken available to try
Ken
yet?
Ken was not available yet. It was Bison.
No.
It was Bison, Ryu, Chun-Li, Birdie, Cammy, and Nash.
Cool.
So they've announced 3 new characters since then. So it'll be nice to actually play around with Nicali, Ken, and today or 2 days ago they announced Vega. So
nice. Yeah. Hopefully one of these days when the beta's running, I can pin you down and make you let me play it
for
10 minutes.
Should be soon. They've announced that they're gonna re-put up the beta at some point whenever they fix things.
Well, then I'm gonna hold you to letting me try it out.
Fine.
Good.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's on.
Good.
So Max, you've been playing anything else this
week?
Yeah. Is that pretty
ended
much
up picking up King's Quest.
Oh, you got it actually.
I did.
Interesting.
So I was a fan of... I didn't play the originals, but I think I hopped on somewhere in the midpoint when I was old enough to even know what they were and start playing them. I think
for those
that
don't know, they're traditional adventure games from the 90s.
And it's interesting. There's some potential here. So basically the way it's set up right now is it's episodic and it's like the Telltale games where it's cel-shaded, and they do a much better job with the character animations and actually allowing you to go explore the environments a bit. And,
to clarify, it's not Telltale.
It is not Telltale. Yeah. It is not. Nope. It's published under Sierra. It's the original developers and everything. Yeah. So like
plays exactly like Telltale.
It does.
It's the Odd Gentleman. It's the people who made like a puzzle platformer from Xbox 360.
I think the original voice actors maybe.
Okay, I thought well, we'll have to research.
They got their blessing from the original creators of the game.
Okay,
yeah, yes.
That's what it was.
But it is a newer developer who...
So many spiritual successors by different companies lately, it's hard to keep track.
Yep. But regardless, gameplay-wise, is it worth it? So you can pay $40 up front. You will get all 5 episodes and an epilogue. You can also purchase it $10 at a time or a discount if you purchase some up front. And then I'm assuming the ending will be DLC. But... I went with the $10 route. It's very childish. King Graham, he's narrating the whole thing. He's bedridden and old, and he's telling the story to his granddaughter. And it starts out with him very young. Now, when you're selecting what chapter you want to play, obviously only one is available right now. But you can see a reflection of Graham in the mirror, and each chapter shows an older version of him.
Right. You start out pre-King,
right? Pre-King. You're basically questing to enter this tournament to get some recognition and hopefully become king. So very childish, cartoony, silly things, bad jokes, intentionally bad, but still childish all the same. And while the voice acting is fantastic and it's a cool world to explore, I remember the older games being a little more, you know, dark and twisted and dying all the time in parts. And just for me, I think
define twisted, because just falling into a river and going and then being made fun of by an owl is hardly dark and twisted.
Oh, I guess I recall dying often in the older games.
There were more failure states.
Right. And in this one, like if you fall for a trap or something like that, it will show your character kind of die or insinuate that he died, and then it'll cut to present. And he'll be like, well, that's what would have happened if I would have made that decision.
Sure.
And then there's no way to skip dialogue. So if you accidentally click on the same thing over and over again, you have to sit through whatever that,
gotcha.
You know. The walking's a little slow. There's a lot of ground to cover is the thing. So they could speed that up. I would say right now, buy if you are going to do it in increments. Otherwise, hold off. Because I'm hoping that they basically develop the story as he ages. It's more of a mature story, or you know, you see a little more interesting, less child-oriented things than we've seen in this first episode.
Sure. Although, don't get your hopes up too high,
because
it is a story he's telling to his grandchild.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I'm getting, from what you're saying, I'm getting very big Princess Bride vibes.
Yeah. It's a mix between that and drawn a blank. Get back to me.
Sword in the Stone.
Anyways, it sounds
very much so.
I'm actually quite intrigued. I probably am going to give this a look, even if you are tentative about it.
I wish that it would have been more like the originals as far as point and click, less of a Telltale. Although there is much more interaction.
I don't know if that plays as well
game,
today, though.
No, maybe it doesn't, but I think a lot of people were like King's Quest. You know, that's what it
was. Yeah, what I really miss is having to solve puzzles with ridiculously convoluted items that make no sense by literally going through every item in my inventory and clicking it and then clicking every interactable object in the room.
There's still a little bit.
Well, it's a good thing that I was being heavily sarcastic then. But honestly, I mean, I went back and played the remastered Monkey Island games, and my biggest beef with them is, like, there's a bunch of puzzles that are just like, there's no way you would just figure this out. You have
to try
every
item. Throw logic out the window.
Yeah. And so, honestly, there's worse things to me than the Telltale style of things, but I will admit I'm with you. I'm getting real bored of it, especially since there's zero innovation since Walking Dead.
Yeah. And there's already – Telltale's got all their bases covered with how many series are at now?
Precisely. So. Too many, arguably.
And Minecraft story mode coming.
Oh, I played Minecraft this week.
For the first time?
No. I tried out the Windows 10 beta thing.
Oh.
It's Minecraft.
Is it just Minecraft? Do they have any new features?
I didn't really look into it.
Is it even the current version?
I hit things, and they turned into little blocks that I picked up.
It ran on Windows 10, I hear.
Yeah, so. It runs if you get it through the store.
But I have Windows 10 on my tablet, and Minecraft runs on that.
Yeah.
But I don't have the Windows 10
version. I think it's technically a port of, like, the mobile ones, like the Pocket Editions.
Why?
Because it runs on everything.
Because you didn't ask for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about the number of versions that Microsoft is releasing of some of this stuff. Like, the fact that there's going to be a Windows 10-specific version of Minecraft sends up all kinds of warning flags to me, because I already paid for this game.
Whoa,
$25.
No. So here's the thing. Since you did pay for it, there's a site that you can go to get into the beta for free. You get this version for free, no matter what. So as long as you purchase Minecraft, you do get it for free.
And I'm guessing this will probably...
What if I purchased it on the 360?
No.
Okay.
And I'm guessing this will probably be the only version of Minecraft that has HoloLens support, most likely.
It's probably going to be the only one that they support from here on out. Just to aggravate you, Henry.
Sometimes I think you might be right. I like running my extremely high security risk .jar file off my desktop. I want to just have raw Java files.
Is it a .pickle jar?
Yes, that's what it is.
Jam jar?
It's pretty...
Jar jar?
It's pretty pretty disappointing to hear that they're continually
is anyone still listening
stuff,
at this
but yeah, exactly. it's you know, it's a little disturbing that they're continually segmenting the game apart, because I mean the mobile version is different from the, you know, I'm not even sure the mobile versions have parity with each other, let alone any other version.
Well,
the Xbox version is less updated than the PC version. Like, I mean, it's just they're fragmenting what was a huge unified player base.
At least they were smart enough to not completely shaft the PlayStation user base.
Yeah, maybe not the PlayStation user base, but let's remember that they are taking this is a game that's mostly purchased by parents for their kids.
Right.
I got a call from my cousin about a week ago, and he said, hey, I have Minecraft on my iPad, and my son just bought Minecraft on his Android. And we want to play together. And I said, I'm very sorry. You should have called me first.
Yeah,
that stinks.
Not gonna happen.
But that's a real thing. I'm sure that happens a lot.
Sure.
And I wonder how many people own multiple versions of Minecraft.
Right. How does, I mean, the Pocket Edition, have any of you played it, like, on an actual phone? Is it even playable? I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's playable. Yeah. It's, okay. I mean, it's not
Minecraft,
though.
You have to be really used to touch controls.
Sure. Well, it just seems super tiny.
Well, it's not just super tiny. There's massive features missing, like, huge amounts. It's not just behind on updates. There's whole parts of the game that have been pulled.
Gotcha. It is a lesser version, but it's enough to get your Minecraft fixed.
Yeah, it's kind of like Terraria for the phone or for tablet versus for PC.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will throw out one more game I've been playing quick. The Lara Croft, or Croft.
Laura Croft.
It's a mac and cheese spinoff coming out.
Potatoes.
But the Tomb of Osiris.
Yeah, that's one of the PS Plus games.
PS Plus game. I tinkered with the one that came out on Xbox Live Gold for the 360, the original, and it was all right. But
Guardian
this next
of
one,
Light.
Pretty fun game, especially with multiplayer. It's got kind of a home world that you can explore
Isn't
and
it
tinker
four
around
player?
In. Yep, four player. Cool. There's little tombs. Obviously, everything's set in Egypt. But yeah, well done, fun little Diablo-esque game with even loot and tons of weapons.
I really
like
the first one.
Now check it's it out. Not. Really Diablo-esque, though, is it? I mean,
it's isometric.
But
as far as the loot system and things like that, I mean, there's
a third-person platformer with an isometric view, isn't it?
It's hard to call it a platformer.
It's like
but
a
twin-stick
shooter.
But yes,
twin-stick
shooter, better.
Yeah, because I have played
with
both
a loot
of them,
system.
And I would not say that they're very Diablo-like, but they are. My least favorite thing, which is forced co-op. It's the same reason I'm not excited for the new Zelda title they announced recently.
You can play it without co-op.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's terrible because you have to switch control between the two dudes constantly.
Not like, in Temple of.
You have to throw your spear, and then the other guy can jump on top of it, you jump on. Like, it's very much
Are we still talking
Guardian of Light?
The two are the same game to me in my head. I forget.
Wait, but Guardian of Light, you could switch between characters?
I thought it was like you could play through. Just with one person, and you would only have, like, access
to their... I may be
there.
Conflating the two games. I know at least one of them, you have to, like, this character will throw a spear that sticks in
the
wall.
Well, it's not Osiris, so it would have to be
it.
The first one, but I don't recall that.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Henry's making
like
things
it?
Up now.
I'm just, yeah,
it's,
I'm just completely...
Yeah, it looks pretty. It's a fun little arcadey game if you're looking for a quick fix to get some gaming in between whatever you got going on in life. It's fun. I wouldn't have... purchased it for I'm assuming the $20 sticker price, but if it's ever on sale for half off or something, pick it up for sure.
Well,
it's a good game.
For the next month it's free on PS Plus, so
I got my copy
it.
Off of Humble Bundle.
There you go.
But yeah, so that pretty much wraps us up for today. It was a pretty exciting week with all the Gamescom news, and we'll probably be hearing a little bit more next week as we finish up our coverage. Just so you guys know, the new Warcraft expansion has been announced, but I want to reserve some time just to talk about that next week.
There is more information coming out in a few days, so we're going to wait it out and get a bigger picture on everything that's happening.
Precisely. But so that pretty much wraps things up for today. So thank you so much for listening. This has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and if you have, please like it, favorite us, leave a comment. You can find us on iTunes or 105theticket.com. Thank you so much again for tuning in, and game on.